This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
So let's take another angle then on difficult emotions, and this one is anger, right? And of course, anger is linked sometimes to sadness, not always, but it can be. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, the three main difficult emotions that we tend to experience are anger, sadness, and anxiety. And I've done a lot of teachings on anxiety, and you're probably wondering, why have you done so much on anxiety? Because that's the one that I dealt with the most, to be honest. That's the one that I had to really, really, really work with for many years. And so I teach a lot on it because it's very natural to me. But the other ones are just as important. And I think people tend to lead towards one, like, anger is my thing, or anxiety is my thing, or sadness is my thing. Or of course we can have like anger with anxiety rising or something, you know, I mean, it's obviously a combination of things. But so let's talk about anger, because anger is a really complex and difficult emotion. And it's something that is really important to understand how we bring our mindfulness practice to. And so what is anger? Anger is a response to a perceived injustice, okay? So the injustice is this feeling or cognition that something is not fair, it shouldn't be this way, you've hurt me, you've hurt someone I love, you've hurt the world, I've been wronged, I've been frustrated, my boundary has been violated, someone I love's boundary has been violated, someone I love has been wronged, right? It's a response to a perceived injustice. And it's an absolutely normal response to a perceived injustice, right? It's like, we see something that is not fair, or that is, or someone is in pain, or that we're in pain, and we get angry, right? Some people don't go to anger. Some people go to like grief or self-blame or something, but a lot of people get really angry. So it's a natural response to a perceived injustice. And what it typically comes with is brain and body arousal states, right? Our body, you know, like fire alarms are going off, ding, 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 something is wrong. There is an injustice. That's what's happening, right? So there's amygdala firing, there's neurochemicals being released in the body, there's a cortisol levels increasing, right? There's all these things. And I'm no like biologist. I mean, I can't give you like the precise, but you get the picture, right? Just kind of as in layperson's term. And it's there's also, it's not just anger, right? Because usually anger is, it's a kind of a raw emotion, but it's typically a complex process of many shifting and influx states of mind. So it's funny. I just had a moment of irritation arise exactly the moment that I'm talking about it, because somebody came. I have a little office in the back of my home, and someone came and opened the door, not seeing that I was teaching. And then it woke up the dog, and now he's going to want to get out, and I have to get out. And I could just feel exactly as I was talking it in that moment, the sense of like, oh, right? That's not fair. Why did they interrupt me? Perfect example. Not, I wouldn't say it's anger, but it's irritation or some version of it. Anyway, hold on 1 second. And keep in mind, that person didn't do anything wrong. They didn't know that I was, you know, teaching or anything. They just were checking in to say hi, probably. So what I was saying is, it's not just pure anger. It's not just like it comes only as anger. It usually comes as a a lot of other states of mind that come with it, like self-righteousness. That's a big one. I should be feeling this way. It might come with confusion. Why am I feeling this way? What's wrong with me? It might come with with self-pity. It might come with hurt. It might come with pride. It might come with sadness. It might come with fear. It might come with blame, right? So anger is not just like a, like it's not typically like a single emotion. It's complex, right? They're complex shifting influx states. And when I'm talking about anger here, by the way, I'm not only there's some ways that there are these kind of like aversive emotions, emotions connected to aversion that are a little different, like hatred, hostility, aggression. I'm talking just like anger. They're a little different because those are sort of often like outward directed. They're kind of, let's just stick in the territory. I mean, they'll get confused with it, but let's just try to stick with the territory of anger. So here's the thing. Anger is also, so it's all these things that are hard, but it's also connected to a potentially energizing feeling of power. So this is the confusing thing about anger, and also in some ways the gift in anger, which we're going to get to. But it's like when we're angry, there's a feeling with all those neurochemical and biological things that are happening in brain activity, it brings the body into a state of arousal. So there's a feeling of power. And that there is nothing wrong with that power. Okay. I want to be super clear about this. There's nothing wrong with the power. What happens is that we're seeing something clearly. And there might even be wisdom in it, but we have so much reactivity typically happening when we're angry that we lose the power and we lose the wisdom and get lost in the stories and get lost in all the other things around it, right? All these other things of self-righteousness, fear, confusion, blame, aggression, you know, all those things. So pure anger is actually this energizing state of being that may have wisdom in it. And this is a little bit of a radical thought because there's kind of a general feeling like, oh, anger is all bad. Anger is not all bad, at least from not from my perspective and not from the people that I read and follow and respect, my teachers, because what we can find, the promise of anger is that we can learn to become aware of anger to preserve the wisdom. Because an injustice did happen. We're not angry for no reason, right? We're angry for a reason. And we can transform and disengage from the reactivity surrounding it. So let me say that again. We can learn to become aware of the anger to preserve the wisdom, yet transform and disengage from the reactivity surrounding it. This is the promise of anger. And then the action that we do is an action guided by our love of the truth or our desire for justice or our care for another being. And that wisdom, the potentially energizing power, can be used. And this is why you hear people talk about like righteous anger, right? The anger that is, you know, profound, that can move mountains, right? And this is, you know, for instance, this is like a beautiful potential for anger, but the problem is it's really hard. Most of the time that's not our anger. Most of the time it's not like righteous, justified anger that acts out of wisdom and equanimity and there's a like seeing clearly and the power makes, you know, social change happen or change happen in your family or in your life. What happens typically is we're just sunk and lost in our anger, and we're overwhelmed, we're taken by it. And it's possible also that sometimes we're not even angry, we're angry for other reasons, right? We're angry, like you're angry at somebody, but it's actually like historical anger. So someone is being mean to you or treating you poorly, but it's just like what your father did when you were a child. And so you're having a reactivity to not only the current time, but the past time, right? So you've heard the, I'm sure everyone's heard the phrase, if it's hysterical, it's historical, right? You've heard that maybe. If it's hysterical, it's historical. Like we're not always having like current time anger. We're having sometimes past time anger combo. So here's the thing. We can use all these mindfulness tools to help us work with the anger. You do it in different way, you know, do it differently essentially, and then begin to transform and disengage from the reactivity surrounding it. The problem is hard because anger is just like a force unleashed in many of us. You know, it's just like, and the, I mean, and you know, there's other people, probably a lot of people sitting in this room, which are saying, oh, I never even get that angry, right? For some people, like anger is a huge no-no. And they're like, they grew up in a family like, do not get angry, do not get angry. So those people, it's a different way of working. We can talk more about that later, but I just want to acknowledge there are some people that anger is, it's kind of a, an opposite reaction to anger. Okay, so what do we do? How do we bring mindfulness to anger? The first thing is we want to, you got to see like what level of anger you're at, because if your anger is like a 10 out of 10, it's going to be really, really hard to be mindful of it. And so that's why you hear all these kind of tried and true things like take a walk around the block, take deep breaths, get out of the room, you know, those kinds of things. And I find them to be very, very valuable. So if I'm really angry, like let's say at my daughter for some whatever it happened, I might just say, I'm going to walk away for a few minutes and I'll be back. And I'll just go into another room and breathe and calm myself down. Or that's my main strategy. But some people take walks around the block. Some people count to 10 and they breathe. You know, there's so the first thing is sort of like diffusing the anger down to a place that it's not overwhelming us. And it might not be possible on the spot. I just want to be honest. Like it just may be that we are so outraged that we're not going to come down from a 10 to a 5 for like 6 hours, and that's okay. But then we need to have that information. And so I was like, I'm so angry. I'm not going to be able to work with this skillfully. I need to go distract myself, get out of the situation, go away, and handle it later if that's possible. It's not always possible, of course. Okay, so the first step is kind of like a diffusing. Once the anger is down enough, and the mindfulness can be engaged, right? And that's when we can, this is called, so one way of talking about this is mindfully held anger. Like, how do we hold our anger within the context of mindfulness? So, one of the best ways of doing it is just mindfulness of what's happening in the body. Right now, we're familiar with rain. I'm going to review rain for, we talked about it last week, but I'm going to review it again. Recognize, acknowledge that you're feeling it. Oh, I'm angry. I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. I'm rageful, whatever it is. And then A, allow from the perspective of mindfulness, every feeling you're feeling is normal. It's okay. So can I allow it to be here? Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but you can attempt. When I teach you, I often say, let whatever is here be here. This is me inviting you, all of us, when I lead meditations, to just let yourself be as you are and not be in resistance. Because what happens when we're in resistance to an emotion is we can't really feel the emotion. It's blocking the emotion. It's just like it's like we're feeling an emotion and we're feeling like we shouldn't be having it. And so that becomes actually what you're feeling rather than the emotion itself. Does that make sense? Like sometimes it's layers, like we have an emotion, and then we have a layer on top of that emotion, like, oh, I shouldn't be having that. And then there's a layer on top of that, like, I'm such a jerk for having, for not even being able to be able to have this emotion. Right. So it's like multiple, and then there could be another layer, right? So we wanna see if it's something that's multi-layered and notice what are the different emotions. So the R, I remember I'm saying rain. R, recognize. A, allow. I, investigate. What am I feeling right now? So opening, so went to the body sensations. When I'm angry, my stomach feels so tight. My jaw is tight. I'm heated. And I'm bringing my attention into the direct experience in the moment and trying to open and soften and allow these emotions to be there. These, maybe it's like layers of emotion. Maybe it's the accompanying emotions like self-righteousness. That's hard to feel, but there's a feeling in our body of like I should be feeling this. They're wrong, right? And it feels good. Like I have to say, I was really mad about something else. And then I got mad at someone on the phone the other day. And I was not proud of this. And I'm embarrassed to say, but I was like calling somebody for customer support for something. And I just got really like outraged. And they had made a mistake. And it was a stupid mistake. And it was, it wasn't fair to me. But because I was mad about something else, I got really mad at this poor woman. I feel really bad. Like I wish I knew who she was and I could call her up and apologize because it had nothing to do with her. How could you be treating a customer like this? But anyway, while I was trying to bring some mindfulness into the moment, and I was like, oh, this feels really good. Like I was enjoying it. I was enjoying the feeling of sort of self-righteousness, and I was right. And it was like, and so if our mindfulness is strong, we can sometimes sense the multiple things happening, like the self-righteousness that accompanies it. Okay, so the I is investigate, what am I feeling in my body, and what did self-righteousness feel like in my body? It felt, again, a little powerful. I could feel it in my arms. I don't know why, but there was a sense of like tightness in my arms and something open feeling in my heart. And then the N, well, actually, so before we move on from the I, let's see. Also, when you're the mindfulness, you can bring your investigative mind, the I, to the thoughts that are coming. She's a jerk. Why did she do this? They have terrible customer service. I'm never going to this company again, blah, blah, blah. Right. And you can start to, like, if you have enough wherewithal, you're able to mindfully notice the thoughts too. Not easy, but you might be able to do it. And as we start to say, oh, I'm caught in this really intense thought loop. My stomach is clenched. My jaw and my throat is so tight. Okay. Breathe, breathe, soften. I'm really angry. It's okay. It's okay to be angry. It's okay. And let the anger begin to move through us. And as we hold it with awareness, and this is, I'm not talking about, remember, I said your anger is down to a five or a four or a three. It's not a 10. And it's not something like, I don't know, think there's some things we're mad about that are just like unspeakable. And I'm not talking about working with that kind of thing. I'm talking with something like being mad at the customer service lady. And as I started to calm down, what tends to happen through my mindfulness is that we see the underlying stuff because usually, and maybe not in the moment, but usually underlying the anger is something like sadness, like self-blame, like anxiety, like confusion. So it's not always the case. Sometimes there's like a pure frustration, but often, when we give it space, there's something else present. So, if we can do this, and maybe not on the spot, might be later, might be in meditation the next morning, it might be reflection, it might be talking about this with a friend, but bringing this awareness to the emotions, we're doing the I because then we get the N. And so, the N is the non-identification and the nurture. The nurture for me what is like, can I be kind to myself even when I'm in anger? That's a hard one because we all have a lot of conditioning, especially I think women have a lot of conditioning, like don't get angry. So I don't feel particularly kind to myself when I'm angry. I feel more like I shouldn't be angry. But what I try to do is bring the end, the nurture, like it's okay, you're angry, it's all right. There's a good reason. It's okay. So bringing some kindness, and then that allows me to lead to the non-identification down the road, maybe, not identifying, not taking it so personally, having some space, moving through it some. We can talk about non-identification a little bit more in a bit, but let me just finish kind of saying what happens. Sometimes when if we mindfully stay with our anger and just bring all of our awareness and all of our kindness to ourselves as we move through that, we actually can contact the energy, the power, and it can kind of like metabolize and transform into just like, wait, there's a wrong that needs to be righted, a wrong that I would like to address. And it's almost like it taps us into our compassion and love for the world. Now, this is not frequent, this is not easy, but it is definitely a possibility. And from that place, we can act skillfully. So this is the like how we hold mindfulness. Remember, I said mindfully holding anger in the midst of probably after, usually not during, but sometimes during, probably after, because usually for people, when we're in anger, it comes back, right? You're angry and then it comes back a little while later, it comes back a little while later. So those are other times to work on it. The second, a third piece is how we then enlist the wisdom mind. So we've talked about this when I talk about working with difficult emotions. When you're having a difficult emotions, there's no wisdom mind when you're really lost in it. But as you bring the emotion down and you start to have enough mindfulness to hold the difficult emotion, the wisdom mind can kick in. And that wisdom mind can say something such as, hey, I was wronged and this is legitimate. Or, I'm not the only one who feels this way, or I'll get through this, or this too shall pass, or ways that we soothe ourselves to help us calm and honor and acknowledge what's happening. And or sometimes it's some wisdom that comes like, wow, I'm so angry because I'm so hurt. Okay, that's a really different thing. I thought they deserved all the hatred in the world today, but it's actually, I'm just feeling really hurt and I think I need to sit with my hurt. Sometimes there's beautiful reflections that you can do around anger that they probably can't do on the spot, but it's something like, so I'll give you like, if you were to reflect on the anger, like what might you reflect on? I'll give you some questions. They might be how you could learn and grow from the situation of being angry. And to that extent, be grateful for your opponent or for this learning opportunity. I know it's a big one, it's a hard one, but it is possible. One of my friends, when he gets really angry, he says at the person that he's really, really angry with, this is a Buddha in disguise. This is a Buddha in disguise, kind of tempting me into my anger so that I can grow and learn here. And even gratitude for this opponent, which is really hard. Other things we might look at, some reflection is like, what is our contribution to this conflict? What is our part? And that's sometimes really hard to admit, but it's possible. How is our anger based on unmet needs or values? So, I have a very strong value of needing safety, and my safety is being threatened. And so, how might I get it in another way? Right. This is a little complex, but it's just something we can reflect on. Is there an underlying, what we were talking about, is there an underlying moral clarity or wisdom linked with the anger? And if so, what is it? What are non-reactive ways of responding to the situation? How would someone you admire, how would they handle the same situation? So these are ways of kind of reflecting, and this is more like after the fact, but they can be really helpful, especially with an ongoing situation and something that just is feeling intractable. The other pieces that are just important to say, and then we'll kind of see where you are with all this is, well, a couple of things is one of the best practices when we're feeling really, really angry, but it's hard to do in the moment is the heart-based practices, kindness and compassion, like compassion for that part of us that's feeling really wronged. Compassion for the part of us that's sad or scared underneath the anger. It's really hard to, when you're very angry, to send compassion or kindness to another person. So I don't, that's sort of like at the advanced level. I don't necessarily recommend, you can try. I mean, that's like, there's a lot of teachings that say, oh, you're angry at the person, send them love. That's rough, but doable. So just know that bringing in the heart is important. And that was the N in nurture as well. And then sometimes the action that we do is a way of working with the anger. Like if we've gotten to a place where we're connected with the wisdom and the power, and then we take an action that can be like really incredible and powerful. So this is again some this these are some of the ways of working with it. Now, a couple of things I just want to add. One is there are some theorists who talk about like anger that is like sort of spiritual anger, or one person in particular that I'm familiar with talks about like transformative anger, anger that can be like this powerful force for good. And I don't, it, most of us are not there. So these are people who like the gurus who act angry in order to teach something to their student, right? Or there are times that our anger is incredibly important. Like I always use this example, but a child is running out into the street. You don't go, oh, sweetheart, come back. Get back now, right? That level of engagement, that power. And it's we want to be so careful because when I think about all the things that are happening in the world, and there's a lot of ways, in my view, people are acting out of anger. And I believe very fully that the ends and means are linked, right? That it's not the ends, in my mind, the ends justify the means. It's the ends and means are linked, so that if we want to see peace in this world, we need to be peace, right? Thich Nhat Hanh always says, being peace. A.J. Musté says, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. And so, but I don't want to like discount that sort of transformative anger that can change things, right? But that anger is typically not the reactive anger that we're talking about. It's something else. There's something else when it's like this love of justice that might have a quality of that intensity, but it's different than sort of ordinary anger. And then the last thing I want to say is that anger is intense. This is all like great theory and also workable. Like we practice with it, but we might practice a tiny little bit. And if you're a person who's struggling with gigantic amount of anger, a little bit of mindfulness is not going to do much, right? You need a lot of mindfulness. And the story I like to tell is that in the movie, I'm sure I've told this before, but in the movie Jaws, when they go out, they know there's something in the ocean, they know it's not good, but they don't know what it is. So they go out in that little dinghy. Then they get out there, and then what do they meet? Rawr, the giant shark, right? Giant, crazy, bad 70s CGI or whatever it was. But it's intense. And the famous line is, looks like we're going to need a bigger boat. And so we can't meet our giant sharks with a tiny little teaspoon of mindfulness. We got to really work it, right? We've got to build the mindfulness muscle, keep our practice going, work with difficult emotion, like learn all these skills so that when we're faced with the hard stuff, we have the chops to meet it, but also not to judge ourselves. Oh, I'll never be there. Or, when am I going to get there? It's not like a race or something. It's step by step. And I have watched people's anger transform over the years. It's actually really, really extraordinary to see the beauty of this practice. People who said, I was an angry and bitter person. And after my years of meditation, I am not anymore. I see the goodness. I still get angry, but I'm quick to work with it. And I can come to a place of compassion and a loving heart. And then our anger can become this, like, it's this thing there that can en energize us, but energize us in that place of wisdom. So, okay, when I talk about anger, I get really riled up in a good way. It sort of like brings in that energy a little bit. So let me, I see there's a bunch of things coming in the chat. So let me just respond to this. Rain, what do you call this concept and what does the R stand for? Okay, someone was asking. So the R is recognize. It's kind of a well-known way of working with emotions. And maybe Serena, you could put it in the chat for me. It's recognize, allow, investigate, nurture, and not identify with. And if you missed it, I'm sure if you go back on the UCLA Mindful app and you look for working with emotions or just even put in rain, you will find meditations on it. You will find, I think I did a series on working with difficult emotions a number of months ago. You'll find rain. You can go into that more deeply, right? Or you can even just Google it. It's all over the place. Someone asks, okay, so someone is angry and hurt, and it's historical. Is it okay to then say it's okay for me to build a wall for self-preservation? Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to take care of ourselves. We don't want to be like dumb bunnies, kind of like, oh, I never want to get angry again. And so, you know, I'm mad at this person, but I'm just going to walk into this situation blindly. Oops, sorry. I'm just going to walk into this situation blindly. There's often fortresses around our heart for a good reason, because we were hurt there. And with help, you know, with therapeutic help, with help from friends, with, you know, there's many, many ways we can work with the parts of us that are walled off. But the most important thing to know is they were walled off for a good reason, and to trust that. And that when we open, when we unwall, when we de that's not a word, when we anyway, when we start to work with that part, we don't just like rip the walls apart and stand there vulnerable. It's very slowly, gently, with the opportunity to rebuild, and to rebuild in a place of strength and openness and open-heartedness. Okay. Someone wrote, one thing that helps me with reactive anger and detaching from the storyline and the feeling of power is the reframe. Is this useful to me? That's interesting. I love that. I love to hear that. That just like being able to ask yourself the question, is this useful to me, can kind of, it sounds like, or maybe if you want to talk about it a little bit more, because I'm just making guesses, but it kind of sh it separates the like reactive anger from the anger that might have a purpose, is what I'm hearing. So you're welcome if you feel like it, come to say more to us. Just responding.
I guess I'm really happy to hear us talking about anger, because I feel like that's where my meditation practice is, like, it's really hardest for me to apply. But I think, yeah, just kind of like this refrain, I think it was like maybe Joseph Goldstein or something where I had heard it from, but I feel like this in particular helps me with the anger, and it kind of just will kind of snap me out of just that reactive loop and like, oh gosh, I want to like walk down that storyline so bad. And then I'm like, oh, is it useful to me? Actually, maybe not that much. So kind of like forcing a little bit of wisdom, but.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure people can use it. It's kind of in that category of we enlist the wisdom mind, and it helps us break the spell of anger, right? It can help us. So great. That's a great one. Love it. Thank you. Someone wrote some time ago. Oh, why everybody's calling me today, and my notifications aren't supposed to be turned off, and I'm getting very irritated. So hold on. This is what happens when I teach about this. Then I start to get angry. So hold on. Let me just make sure that I get the. Okay. Let me just respond to a text, and then we're all good. Okay. Someone said, some time ago in grad school, depression was anger turned inward, internalized. Yeah, we didn't talk about that so much, but I did make mention of there are people for whom anger is not an acceptable emotion, and so they tend to go more towards sadness or anxiety or depression in this case, in this story. And what actually needs to happen is to be able to move towards opening to that anger. And usually it need, there's some we need help. Like, it's not easy to do because we've had that habit for a long time. And then when we start to feel it, but the power can help with the internalized depression. So yeah, thank you for pointing that out. You know, said personally, anger gives me self-growth. Feeling anger is a good opportunity to reconsider my criteria after mindfulness practice. So we can find the wisdom within the anger, is I think what you're pointing today to. More questions to ask. Is this in my best interest, to my well-being? What part of it is my business and responsibility? Right? These are great questions to help us sort of wake up from that trance. Hiroki.
Hi, yes. So I think it was very helpful for me to learn the part where being able to see that the wise anger, but the emotion is very intense. And so, like, asking myself to see the wisdom in that. And then also being able to wisely remember to, like, distance myself a little bit if that anger is too intense. And so having the wisdom part sort of left for maybe later for justful or kind action. I
Yeah.
think that was helpful, I think, for me to understand. And I think, is that the way I'm correctly understanding it?
Yeah, can so say it again. So you're gonna like later on reflect on it, and is that what you're saying?
So in the moment that I'm feeling intensely emotional, I can say, and I think it's because I do have a knowingness that there is wisdom in that anger, but saying, okay, I'm feeling really emotional, and there is maybe a wisdom, and I can create a distance for later to really sort of recognize that wisdom part without sort of keeping the intensity of the emotion.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great because what's happening is you're kindly saying to yourself, like you're acknowledging. Usually when we're angry, we're like, a lot of times we're thinking there's something wrong, like we shouldn't be angry. So instead you're saying, oh, there's wisdom in the anger, which can go a long way to kind of calming us a bit because it's being acknowledged, like it's okay to have it. There's a good reason. And then later on, you can do the reflection. You can journal. You can meditate on it, you can reflect and kind of get to what is the wisdom? What, like, where is it? And so I think that's a fine step. Yeah, that sounds great.
Thank you.
So let's just take the next couple of minutes to do a very short meditation on anger. And now what I'm gonna do is like give you a little taste of how we might work with it. Now, you might not be angry about anything, but maybe there's something there's slightly irritating. And but don't I'm going to invite you to think about something you might be angry about. Don't go for the hardest thing. It's just we're just learning more about the technique. So if you want to Take a breath and go inside and just see where you are and notice what's happening in your body and mind as we have been discussing all this anger stuff. And feel your feet on the ground. Maybe find some place in you right now that feels like strong or safe or relaxed or at ease. And that could be like I generally like my feet on the ground. It could be your hands on your wherever your hands are. Maybe it's your legs, the back of your legs on the chair. See if there's just some place that might feel soothing, at ease. Or at the very least, neutral. And if there's just nothing in your body right now, use a memory of a time you felt at ease. And now let's bring to mind something we might be irritated, frustrated, angry about, or have been in the past couple of days. And as you bring it to mind, just notice what happens. So, if we were following rain, we would recognize that we're irritated, angry. You can give it a label to be specific if you want. And see if you can breathe and notice if you can allow it to be here. Said, okay. So notice like what like suddenly just by thinking about this thing, maybe you start to feel a little hot. Or there's tension in your body. Can you see? Is it okay? Can you allow this to be here? See if you can let whatever is here be here. And breathe, and now bring your attention back to wherever it was easy or soothing or calm in your feet, hands, legs, or maybe a memory. Just rest here for a moment. And now let's go to the eye, investigate. Remind yourself of the situation. And now, what do you feel in your body when you remember that situation? My stomach is tightening up, my jaw is clenched. My face is getting hot. My hands are clenching. Just allowing to soften, breathe, allowing that to be here. And then come back down to wherever it's easy. Come back to where it's easy, soothing. This is part of like not taking on the shark all at once, right? It's just a little bit at a time and building the mindfulness capacity. So you're with your body, taking a breath, and remembering the situation and just coming back and feeling what you're feeling in your body. And you think of the situation, maybe there's like a feeling like, grr, you know. And is there a thought, oh, this person is such a jerk. Why did they do this to me? Just noticing the thought, breathe, holding, making space, and coming back to where it's easy. Coming back to where it might be slightly soothing or at least neutral in the body or in memory. And now notice if, this is, we're artificially inviting this in, but let's just play with those questions a little bit. Like we might ask ourselves the question, is there some wisdom in this anger? Is there something here that is actually intelligent? Wise. And if so, what might that be? You might not be sure, but it's an interesting question. And if there is wisdom here, what might it compel you to do? To act? To speak to someone? To work with yourself. And if you're not certain what the wisdom is here, just ask this other question. How might someone I admire handle this situation? How would they handle it with wisdom? Let yourself play it out in your mind. And then coming back to the place that is easeful in your body. Maybe it's your hands, your feet, the memory. And let that grow. Just let that grow. So the feeling of ease, of soothing, goodness. Just let it imagine it kind of coming like a wave through your body. And the anger is present. You might want to spend more time with it at another time. You might want to explore and learn from it. For now, you're just acknowledging, doing your best. And let's feel any goodness, relaxation, softness, ease. And lastly, bring a little kindness to yourself for any kind of anger you're feeling. Yeah. You're not alone. There's probably a really good reason you're feeling what you're feeling. I'm sure there is. And it's totally workable. It is. Feel your feet on the ground. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes or end the meditation. So before we end, so that you can practice with this. We have other meditations on the app when working with anger, but that the idea is, or working with difficult emotions, there's a lot in anger. It's complex, it's heavy, it can be really hard for some of us. And it's workable, you know, it's another, and it's not only mindfulness. Like I said, mindfulness is not going to solve everything. But it's a wonderful tool. So before we end, I'll take another like couple minutes, but I'm just curious if there are any comments about the meditation or any last thoughts about what just happened, anything that you observed, or you could write it in the chat as we try to be with our anger. I see Anu.
Hi, so thank you so much for the session. I feel anger is the biggest emotion. I want to understand more, and this is my first session, and it's incredible I stepped in for this particular one. I do have a question. I know we are closing, but while we were actually practicing the techniques, and when you say you sit with the emotion, try to identify the wisdom, I just want to know what this wisdom actually looks like for you, because the example I took in my head, I ended with like a question or like an accusation in my head towards the person. And I mean, the wisdom that gives me, like if I explore it a little bit more, is that either I'm dissatisfied or there is some expectation that wasn't met. But I just want to know what wisdom actually looks like, because if I would have just stopped at, oh, this at that the thought of that accusation, that would just harm me, and that cannot be wisdom.
Yes, a really great question, and I think it's going to look different for everybody, and it's probably not an accusation. But what you were saying is like, oh, wow, I'm really reactive around this, or wisdom might show up like, oh, I'm protective of myself, and I should be protective of myself, or here's my part in this. Oh gosh, it's not all them. I thought it was all them, but I think actually I contributed to it. Like it can have lots of different flavors. But if you're still feeling like that person is a jerk, And my wisdom is that person is a jerk and I'm right. That's probably not the wisdom I'm talking about, but it's a legit feeling. So we just notice it. So we can talk more about wisdom maybe in the coming weeks, because I think it's such a good question. Like, how do you know what is wisdom and how do you know what's not? So just in the because of time, I'll just stop there, but I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, a few people were saying they invited their wise self in and were able to give perspective and on anger, on their anger. So I will not be here next week. Let me just check what the schedule is like. We have, let's see. Yeah, next week it's somebody. Yeah, I think in 2 weeks I have two guests. Nope. What? I have to look. You'll have to. It's posted on the website.
Anu is next week.
Who is next week? Oh, Bono is
Anu.
next. Okay. All right. So I think my problem is I'm away teaching quite a bit in the coming weeks, but I probably may not be back until October. But we have great guests, so please come. The retreat at Big Bear is still open, and it's a great opportunity to practice if you want to come out, and we do have financial support for that. And what else? More upcoming classes. We just are with UCLA Mindful. There's a lot to not a lot, but there's a few things to study and practice with. So we have all that. All right. Thanks, everybody. So good to see you, and I'll see you in a few weeks. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.